For our scripture reading this morning, this communion service, we turn first to Isaiah 12, where we find our text, and then to John 4. First, we read together Isaiah chapter 12. Let us hear God's word. In that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Our text is verse 3, where we read, Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And we read about that water also in John 4, where the Lord Jesus is speaking with the Samaritan woman. And we will start at verse 5 and read to verse 15. Then cometh Jesus to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Dear congregation, drought is a terrible thing. When there is no water, I've received reports from China that there was no water for several years even. They had to walk for hours down the mountains to find water lower down. And I saw pictures of young people digging in the mud of what was once a reservoir of water, hoping that some water would still seep into the holes lower down. How different is the picture in our text? When it says, With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The picture of our text is of clear and sparkling, refreshing water that springs out of multiple wells in order to refresh, to give life, and to bless. That water, congregation, is not just a picture. That water is a reality. And that water is not far away. That water streams here. Here in the house of God. Here from the pages of the Word of God. And also here at the supper of the Lord. Let us listen this morning of drawing water from salvation's wells. Drawing water from salvation's wells. First, the flowing of the wells. And secondly, the drawing from the wells. Drawing water from salvation's wells, the flowing and the drawing. Isaiah is called to proclaim the judgments of the Lord. In the midst of much sin and decay, God has called him to warn of God's hand being outstretched still to punish and of his burning anger. And it's not a pleasant message, but it's a true one, and therefore a necessary one to be heard. When you read those chapters about the judgments of God upon the people because of their sin, then the heat of that message, it dries up and it burns up all creaturely comforts. It dries up all other sources of satisfaction and joy. How different does everything appear when you look around and you see God's curse stamped upon all sinful pleasures than it delivers from the desire for them. How different does everything look when the holiness of God causes all the sources of satisfaction you had in yourself, causes them to evaporate. That whereas before you could refresh yourself with the thought of your own goodness, it's the heat of his holiness that evaporates all that goodness which you thought could comfort yourself. And you find no source of life within you. That's where the message of Isaiah is to lead the people of Israel, is to lead also us. And if in this last week you've considered your sins and the curse due to them, if the Lord has brought something of that home to your heart, that it may have dried up so many other sources of comfort and of satisfaction that you had, that you realize they are but barren, empty cisterns. You may have felt more of your deadness and dryness than ever before. You find no life-giving spring within you, not in your wisdom, your righteousness, your goodness, your strength. And that can be humbling even for a child of God who wants to be so lively and so flourishing in order to come to the Lord's Supper in that frame when instead you may feel so dry. What a terrible condition. Because nothing is more important than water. I read a report from China where the children who received water agreed that with no food or not enough food, they can still stand for a while, yet no water, it makes them dying without remedy. Dying without remedy if you have no water. And that was exactly the condition of these people in our text, without water. And yet here we have in our text that ye shall draw out of the wells of salvation. How can that be? Because the Lord is faithful to his word. He fulfills his word of promise then and today. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I will open fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the dry land springs of water. That's his word of promise in Isaiah 41. This is thanks not to anyone, but God himself. To draw, there must be a well. And for there to be a well, there must be a well provided by God himself. And that's exactly, congregation, what God has done in the midst of the wilderness of this life and of this earth. Isaiah 12 is the song to be sung in that day. The day of the Messiah. The day in which the Messiah will come as a one who turns God's wrath away and who opens up wells of life. Calvin translates this verse as the wells of the Savior, salvation of the Savior. Beautiful translation. Shows us that all the wells of grace and of life are in the Savior, Jesus Christ. I was confirmed at the Feast of the Tabernacles. At the Feast of the Tabernacles, it was the custom of the Jews to take a golden pitcher and to go to the pool of Siloam and to fill it with water and to carry it back into the temple court and then to pour it out there in the temple. And as they would do so, they would sing the praises of the Lord, and they would even quote this text, "He shall draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation." And what did the Lord Jesus do on that feast? John 7 tells us that he stood and he cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He says, "Come to the wells of salvation. Come to me, the spring of salvation." I said the well. In the text it is wells, plural. Why is that? Because there's such a fullness in him. A fullness to meet every single need. The one who has preached this morning, the one whose grace is sealed at his supper, has fountains of water to meet our every need. From him flow the waters of life that free from condemnation to death and relieve from the heat of the anger of God. The king's wrath are as messengers of death, Proverbs says, but in his favor is life. Those waters of life that fill Christ and flow from him, deliver from it. And to drink is to be delivered from condemnation and anger. In him is also the spring of life-healing waters. In these waters there is healing for every single disease of sin that is present here in this room. Whatever it may be in you. The disease of sin that twists your heart away from God. The disease that blinds your eyes to his glory. The disease that paralyzes your arms with fear and keeps you from laboring and serving him. The disease that cripples your legs with unbelief and keeps you from fleeing to him. The disease that corrupts your mind and keeps you from sweet meditations upon him. What is your disease this morning? What is your problem this morning? What is it? What in your life and heart is not as it should be? In Christ there are fountains of healing waters to heal your every disease of your soul and of your life. In him are springs of life-giving water. To drink of him is to receive his Spirit that gives you life and that renews and refreshes that life, enlivens your soul toward God so that it flows out to God. That water that he gives is so healthy it causes the fruit of the Spirit to appear and to flourish in the midst of what was once a barren heart. Do you need more life? Do you need life? Is that fruit within you so languishing, if it's there at all? This morning I may preach unto you Jesus Christ, in whom are all the fountains of life to cause your soul to flourish, that you would drink and be enlivened. In him is also the cleansing fountain that enables sinners to enjoy God's loving kindness and fellowship with him. Here is a fountain to draw from, to be washed and to be cleansed and to be brought near into the presence of God. Do you long this morning for communion with the living God? To have communion with Christ Himself this day in Christ is that fountain of mercies to draw you near to God. Every fullness is in Him to cover every need that is in this room this morning, whoever you are. And there's such a fullness in Him. Colossians says, in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can you get greater than that? Can there be anything more than the fullness of God Himself? That is what fills these wells of salvation. That is why they will never run dry. That is why John 1 says, out of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace, for grace, for grace, for grace, 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 grace. There's no end. The word that is used here is for springs that flow, that give water. If every one of us would draw the water from this fountain this day, there would be no less in it tonight. John Owen the Puritan, he says, if all the world should, if I may so say, set themselves to drink free grace, mercy and pardon, drawing water continually from the wells of salvation, if they should set themselves to draw from one single promise, an angel standing by and crying, drink, O my friends, yea, drink abundantly, take so much grace and pardon as shall be abundantly sufficient for the world of sin which is in every one of you. They would not be able to sink the grace of the promise one hair's breadth. There is enough. However great your need may be, that all our need may be altogether. Congregation, these wells are not far away. Not like those in the drought who had to walk for hours and could take a little bucket home. Not so deep that you had to have a very long rope and a very strong arm in order to pull that water up out of the well. The word for wells here are wells that flow. They're used even for those wells that spring forth out of the valley, in the valleys, or out of the hills, and they pour out their waters right there. These wells of salvation, they flow out of that word that you may have in your hands right now. Out of this word that is being preached to you. Puritan said the two testaments are the two wells of salvation. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the whole Word. It is the wells of salvation. Here it flows, especially in the promises of God in His Word, in which God comes to a poor and needy people and a helpless and a guilty people and promises what He will do for them. Every promise in this Word is as a well, a fountain of water that spills out its water. What an abundance. So near. This water flows also in the preaching. The preaching is that well through which the water of life flows into the midst of a dry and barren land. Here under the preaching, God's grace is set before our eyes. Here under the preaching, God uses that preaching in order to cause His mercy to flow even to those who are dead. And this water also flows in the wells of the sacraments. The Lord's Supper is the spring through which this water flows to His people, because the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of that gospel promise, of God's gracious covenant, of His gracious promises, of His gracious salvation. In the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus shows how those waters can flow. It's because Christ's blood flowed. It's because He entered into death that the waters of life may flow. It's because He entered into suffering that the waters of comfort may flow. It's because He entered into the curse that the waters of blessing may flow. And through the Lord's Supper, Christ gives His Holy Spirit in order to heal and enliven and apply the riches of His grace to His people this morning again. In themselves, those means of grace are empty. The preaching and the sacraments are not the water in themselves. And you cannot expect grace from the mere attendance of coming to church or even of coming to the Lord's Supper in itself. And yet those are the means which God uses to give the water of life. And that is why it comes with a call to draw from that water, which is our second point, drawing from the wells. Congregation, what a terrible thing it would be to have this water of life flow past you all your life and yet never taste of it, never be enlivened by it, never be saved by it. What a terrible thought to have to stand before God one day and to be sent to that place where there is not a drop of water available to you to cool your tongue. All because you only paid lip service to the fact that Christ is filled with grace and yet you never tasted that saving grace of Christ. Is that your condition this morning? You hear of that fountain. And you may read of others drinking of it. You may see others drink from it. And yet you've never tasted it for yourself. My friend, being near the wells of salvation is not enough. A person can die beside a well if he doesn't drink. Will you stay away from the Lord's Supper, confessing that salvation, that water is not for me, I live without it? You may have reason to stay away from the Lord's Supper. If you have not drunk from these wells of salvation, you have no place at the Lord's Supper. But do you realize what you're saying? It means you're dead. Maybe someone says those waters are so near and yet so far. They may be there in the word in my hands and yet I can feel so far from them. I understand and yet I have to ask, how can that be? If the waters are there, if they came at the cost of the blood of Christ, and if God has sent the message of them to us, isn't it for a purpose that you and I would draw from those wells? What keeps you from drawing from that water, from the wells of salvation this day? You say, I'm unworthy. Those waters are too wonderful for me. How can they be for me? Do you not hear the invitation? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Is that you? I have no money. You are singled out in that invitation this morning. He that hath no money, let him come and buy and eat without money and without price. If someone says this morning, I only have unworthiness of blessing, but I also have worthiness of curse. Again, that Puritan John Owen, he says, what is our finite guilt before this fountain of infinite grace? Show me the sinner that can spread his iniquities to the dimensions of this grace. Here is mercy enough for the greatest, the oldest, the stubbornest transgressor. And if someone says, I'm not suitable, I don't thirst enough, I'm not humbled enough, I'm not broken enough, you'll never be enough. Do you not hear the invitation this morning? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The basis is that he invites whoever desires this water. However weak that desire may be, he says, I will give it freely. The freedom to come to that well lies in the invitation. It goes out to whoever desires it. Do you think he will send away? A weak and sinner from his well when he invites sinners to it. The invitation to the Lord's Supper is not to all, but only to those who have tasted of that water. But the invitation to that water and to that fountain goes out to all who hear it this morning, whoever you are, whether you are 9 or 90. He says, oh, come and drink freely, whether for the first time or whether for the 1,000th time. Here are wells to draw from. He asks you, why would you spend all your labor to fill the bucket of your life in those cisterns of this world which will never satisfy? Why do you try to fill it with the poisoned waters of sin which will only destroy your soul? Why do you try to fill it with the muddy waters of your own self-righteousness which is worthless in the sight of God, when all the while there is this fountain that flows before you for you to draw from? And what makes this text all the more amazing for a needy people is that this isn't simply an invitation, but it is a promise. In that day with joy ye shall drink. Ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. He says ye shall. Who shall? Those exiles, those sinners, those who lie in the midst of death, they shall draw water because he will draw them to those fountains of living water. He's not only the fountain of water, he's also the one who leads to that fountain and leads to drink and to draw from that fountain. He is the one who uses the heat of his wrath to dry up every other spring of life and salvation and consolation. His Spirit takes that word in order to take the bucket of your life and to turn it upside down so that you have nothing left of yourself. And he leads you with that empty life to that fountain, to receive the grace of salvation. He makes that salvation so desirable. He leads to hear that voice. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And constrains by that very invitation to come and to drink. He does so in fulfillment of this text, with joy shall ye draw water. You shall. That gives joy. We will meditate more on that joy at the table. Why at the table? Because at the table, the Lord desires in a special way to refresh with the waters that flow from the wells of salvation. There the words of Song of Solomon 5 sound, eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. The only way to be revived in your soul is to drink. The only way to have all the graces of God deepened within you is to drink. The only way to receive comfort once again is to drink. The only way to experience peace once again is to drink. The only way to have satisfaction is to drink. Once again, from these wells. All other wells will prove bitter and give no help. These are blessed. My friend, have you tasted from these wells? And does the memory of it stir up the desire to taste of that water once again? He stretches out his hands also at his table and says to his thirsty people, come unto me and drink. The issue is not simply to come to the Lord's Supper, but through the Lord's Supper to draw near to him, to receive of that water of salvation once again. If you can be content simply to come to the Lord's Supper without desiring to be refreshed in your soul, you've reason to stay away. But if your own dryness makes that water all the more precious once again, Then he says, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So that you would confess, he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. Amen.